Well, today we're beginning a new message series. The last few weeks we've been talking about after Easter, what happened after Easter, and we saw transformations happening in the lives of the people that in that day. After Jesus died, after he rose again, lots of changes happened. The big change that we talked about last week was the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Holy Spirit to live in his people, and we saw how that changed the people from kind of rule followers to people who can speak with the very voice of God, as we hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came for us, he died and rose again on our behalf. That is really cool. Today, we're continuing, and this new message series is called The Spirit Moving, and we're seeing how the Holy Spirit, now that he's come, well, what's happening? What's happening in the lives of God's people? And so we're looking through the book of Acts and seeing several different things. Today, for Trinity Sunday, we're continuing with a speech that Peter gave right on that day of Pentecost. We're going to see that. But to get started, I want to say, because this is kind of my own experience. I don't know about you, but I have often felt like I was, well, kind of distant from God. It's pretty easy for us to feel like God is far away, right? After all, we can pray to God, we can talk to him, but most of us wouldn't say that God talks back. At least not in the way that we, you know, can have a conversation with someone standing next to us, okay? At the same time, we can get together with other believers. We get together for worship, and we know that here in the company of believers, Jesus is here. He says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And we can know that God is present in God's word and in the sacrament. That's cool. But when we gather for worship, it's not like God shows up to stand next to you and sing. It's not like God walks around and shakes your hand at the beginning of the service, right? It's easy for us to feel like God is distant. We know that, theologically speaking, God is here, but we just don't see him like we'd like to. Now, you know, I know lots of people who do feel very close to God. They feel his presence in worship. They feel close to him as they pray. They feel close to God as they read scripture, as they gather for Bible study, and those are all good things. They see God's work in many different ways in their lives, and that's great. But I've got to be honest that for me, I've always been kind of a, you know, what you see is what you get person. It's never been easy for me to see or feel things that aren't physically there. And so while I know intellectually and theologically that God is present for us in his word and his sacrament, I've often felt like God seems to be more distant than he is close by. If you do feel God's presence and he feels very close to you, that is great. I am glad for that. And I pray that that feeling, that presence would continue to draw you close to Jesus in prayer, that would continue to draw you close to Jesus as you read scripture, that would draw you close to Jesus as we gather and worship to receive God's gifts to us. But for those of us who feel like God is more distant than close, you know, well, that can be hard. Because when we feel like God is distant, it's hard for us sometimes to believe that God is really working in our lives for our good. When we feel like God is distant, it can even start to feel like, well, maybe God is there working in my life, but maybe that's not always a good thing for me. We can feel that way. Sometimes we can read the description of Jesus in our scripture reading today. That's in verse 23. And we say, I feel like I can relate. We'll look at that in just a moment. Some background. This is Peter speaking, like I said. It's on the day of Pentecost, and what's just happened is that the Holy Spirit has fallen on a large gathering of believers. So these Christians have gathered, and then they went out into this big crowd of people who have gathered for the Jewish festival of Pentecost, and the Christians begin speaking the good news of Jesus Christ in all sorts of different languages. And the disciples don't know these languages on their own. It's not as if they've studied or as if, you know, they're speaking their native tongue. They're speaking all different languages, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit that they suddenly are speaking in this way. And the crowd is amazed, and Peter, the apostle, gets up to tell them what's going on. Last week we saw how Peter pointed them to the Old Testament, to the prophet Joel, who said, hey, this is going to happen. And today we see Peter continuing to speak about the work of God in the world. And so there's this one long speech Peter gives. We're kind of breaking it up and taking it in parts. And so Peter is speaking to the crowd when he says this, that this man, and that's Jesus, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And sometimes, like I said, we feel like we can relate. We feel like, well, maybe God's working in the world, but I'm not totally sure that's something I like. Because when bad things happen in our lives, you know, it's only natural to look for reasons. When a loved one dies. We want to ask why. When we're afflicted by illness or injury, we want to ask why. When we are hurt by the people around us, we want to ask why. And when we see bad things happen to other people too, we want to ask why. And sometimes our conclusion is something like this. We feel like, well, maybe this must be God's plan, this bad stuff that's happening. After all, Jesus was handed over to be crucified. That was God's plan, Peter says, with God's plan and his foreknowledge. And sometimes we feel the same way, that God's plan, whatever it is, well, maybe God's plan isn't good news for me. And we're especially likely to believe that when we already feel like God is distant from us. Well, today in Peter's address to the crowd, what we see is that, well, God isn't distant and far away from us. No matter what we feel, we can be sure of that. And in this speech, we find our assurance that God is near us. And we find our assurance that God is for us in a really a most unlikely place. Today, as I mentioned earlier with our kids, it's Trinity Sunday. And it's a day that we take to consider one of those really confusing teachings of Christianity. And if you say, I get it totally, it's not confusing, you're lying. Really smart people have thought about this for a long time. And this is something we don't get. It's this teaching, this distinctive, uniquely Christian claim that God is one being, but somehow God is also God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at the same time. God also exists in three persons. And we don't understand how this works, to be sure. This is one of those ways that God is simply beyond our understanding. And today, we're often kind of, we're tempted to just kind of forget about this or ignore it. We're tempted to dismiss this teaching. To us today, it seems like one of those funny religious things that a bunch of theologians argued about maybe like 1,700 years ago or so. And let's be honest. When was the last time in my daily life today I had to think about and apply the doctrine of the Trinity to my life today? It just doesn't happen, does it? So we're tempted to ignore it. We're tempted to forget it. But I'll say we ignore this aspect of Christianity at our own peril. Because in truth, the fact that God is three in one, that is actually a tremendous source of comfort for you and me. It's a source of tremendous strength for us as Christians. And it's actually this doctrine of the Trinity that lets us be sure that God is not distant, but he is near, no matter what we feel. And it's the doctrine of the Trinity that lets us be sure that God is not against us, but God is for us. And lets us say that God's plan, no matter what it is, and no matter if I'm having a good day or a bad day, God is doing these things for my good. It's this speech that Peter gives, this portion of the speech that we read today. In this speech, we see all three persons of the Trinity. They're working together, and they're at work for us. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. It's a really cool thing. And so we can start with God the Father. And we see his work, as Peter says, his work in sending Jesus to be our Savior. That's what he does. Peter says that Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. So in other words, the Father sent his Son to us, and because God really wants us to pay attention to his own Son and what he's saying and what he's doing, the Father gave Jesus this power to do miracles, wonders, and signs. Jesus did amazing things, and that helped him back up his claim to be God the Son. And the Father didn't just send us a good healer and a good teacher. The Father sent us a Savior. Peter says a little later, he says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. So we see the Father at work in sending us a Savior. And if that's the Father's job in our lives, well, then what does the Son do? Well, we go back to verse 23, which we read a moment ago. That talks about Jesus. This man was handed over to you by God, by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And so Jesus, God the Son, that's his work. His work in this world is to give his life for you and me. That's what makes him the Savior. Because in giving his life, he wins us forgiveness. He wins us salvation. And now Peter says, after Jesus gave his life, after Jesus rose again, Peter says that God has exalted him to the highest place. He says this, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And there's the third person of the Trinity, Jesus the Son in his role as Lord over all things. Jesus has poured out the Holy Spirit and his works upon all God's people. And that's why this crowd has witnessed all the followers of Jesus miraculously speaking the good news in languages they didn't even know how to speak, because Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit, and now that's his work. That's what he's doing. And so we see the Father, the Son, and this Holy Spirit all working together here, and they're working for the good of you and me We see that salvation and new life and forgiveness of sins, all these things that we all need. Well, salvation is given to us from God the Father in heaven. Salvation is given to us through God the Son, Jesus, and his work on earth. And salvation is given to us by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and mind as the Spirit speaks and creates faith in you and me. And all three of these are active and working to save your life and mine. That's pretty cool, I think. Well, you know, it wasn't quite so cool for the crowd that they're speaking to today. Because you see, this crowd of people, before they heard the speech of Peter's, what they would have said is, they would have said, well, no, God's distant. He's not close. He's distant. On that day, these people, before they heard Peter's speech, they would have said they believed God was far away, sitting on his throne in heaven. And more than that, they had been pretty sure, they had been very sure, several weeks earlier, back when they handed Jesus over to be crucified, they had been pretty sure back then that they were actually acting on God's side. They thought they were acting on God's behalf as they gave Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified. But now that the Christians have displayed divine power through this miracle of speaking to the crowd in many different languages, and now that Peter has explained what's happened here, now that Peter has shown them that Jesus really is God the Son, well, now the crowd is terrified because they realize, in fact, that God has not remained distant. God has come close to them. And not only that, but when they crucified Jesus, they put God to death. God the Son, Jesus Christ. They had put God to death. That's kind of wild, and it was terrifying for this crowd. Because when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter reassures them. Peter repeats that God had worked all these things for our good. Peter says, "Well, here's what you do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all for all whom our God will call." And the people recognized that God was not far off that day. They recognized that God had come near to them. In fact, they recognized that God had come uncomfortably near to them. But God had done all these things for their good. God came near to them because he wanted to know them. God came near to them because he wanted to have a personal relationship with them through his son Jesus. And because God had come close to them through Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit had arrived in their lives, they could no longer see God as distant. They could no longer see God as uncaring or terrifying, this figure that's far away. Because God had come close to them, now they could know God as Jesus, who was God the Son, who was their human brother and who had given his own life for them. Because God had come close, now they could know God as the Father who reigns in heaven on high, and yet he knows each of us individually. He loves us and cares for us individually. He loves us as his children, and now they could know God as the Holy Spirit who lived in them and worked powerfully to give them faith, who works powerfully to give us faith, instruct us, and to gather us as the people of God. And so God had come close to them, and that turns out to be wonderful good news for the people that day, because that closeness became an invitation to a relationship with the one who made them. It became an invitation to a relationship with the one who had saved them. He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." That was the invitation. A little while ago, I read a story that illustrates this relationship so well. It shows us why this is so important for our confidence and our hope as Christians. It comes from a book I've mentioned before, and you may remember it. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It's by a man named Nabil Qureshi. And Nabil, he was born and raised as a Muslim, and through a series of debates with his Christian friend, Nabil eventually turned away from Islam and became a Christian. And you may or may not know this, but if you know any Muslims, if you've talked about religious things with them, the Trinity is one of the major sticking points for Muslims as they encounter the Christian faith, because Muslims see God as absolutely distant. They see God as absolutely separate from us. And for a Muslim to suggest that God would come near to us, or for a Muslim to suggest somehow that God could be one God and yet also be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that's like the greatest heresy for them, in fact. And so Nabil Qureshi shares this conversation that he had with his Christian friend David, and this was a conversation about the Trinity. And in fact, it's this challenging, this difficult to think about, this strange kind of teaching of the church that makes all the difference in Nabil's walk of faith. Because here, David and Nabil, they're talking about the question. They're saying, well, what is sin? And well, why would God forgive sin? Because that's also part of the Muslim faith. They believe that God does forgive sin in a way. Nabil had shared his Muslim belief. He said that, well, everyone sinned to be sure, but kind of the way he thought was that he didn't feel like his own sin was so serious that it would warrant condemnation. He thought, you know, I've done good things, I've done bad things, and on the whole, I've done more good than bad, so I'm probably kind of okay in God's eyes, right? Well, in response, David, who's the Christian friend, he says this. He says, well, Christianity teaches that sin is so destructive, it shatters souls and destroys worlds. It's like a cancer that consumes everything. He says, that's why this world went from perfection in the Garden of Eden to being the sick and depressing place that it is today. Do you think that God would allow any of that stuff in heaven? Well, of course he wouldn't. If heaven's going to be a perfect place, well, then by definition, there can be no sinners in it, none at all. And Nabil says, well, his last words hung in the air, their gravity slowly sinking in. After a few heavy moments, I spoke, well, then what hope is there for us, David? And David smiled reassuringly, only the grace of God. Well, but why would he give me his grace? Because he loves you. Well, why would he love me if I'm a sinner? Because he's your father. He said, David's words hit me powerfully, and I had heard Christians call God Father, but it had never clicked. Only when trying to figure out why God would give me mercy and grace when I deserve none did the gears start turning. And I couldn't speak. It was all connecting. Would I ever question why Abba loved me? And Abba was Nabil's own father. He had loved me since I was born, not because of anything I did, but because he was my father. I never doubted his love and generosity toward me, not because I had somehow earned his favor, but because I was his son. Was this really how God loved me? Could God be that loving? Could God be that wonderful? He thought. Well, for us, whenever we feel distant from God, we can remember that God has come close to us as Jesus the Son. And we can know that God lives in us as the Holy Spirit, and that makes God in heaven our Father, who loves us and cares for us no matter what. That's what the Trinity means for us, and that's why it's so important. Now, if you're wondering what to do with this, why does this matter? What should I do today? Well, remember how I said, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they all have kind of their own part in working salvation in our lives. We're saved as God the Father sends his Son Jesus. We're saved as Jesus the Son. We're saved through his sacrifice. And we're saved by the work of the Holy Spirit as he creates faith in our hearts. Well, Jesus tells us. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so we too are sent. Jesus was sent to invite us into a relationship with God the Father, and now Jesus has sent us to invite others into a relationship with him. And so let me encourage you to do that this week. Get to know someone new. Think of someone you know. You kind of know, but you don't really know them. You know, maybe it's that neighbor you might wave to, but you never really speak with them. Maybe it's that person in the office whom you only ever talk with them about business, and maybe you don't even know their name. You know them as that person who does this for me. Maybe it's a clerk or a cashier you see all the time at a store you go to regularly, but you've never learned their name. Go get to know someone new. Invite them into a relationship with you, even if all you do is share your name and ask for theirs. But start that. Get to know someone because, in fact, that's what God has done for you. He's gotten to know you. He's given you a relationship. And that's also how God will work in the lives of your friends and relatives and neighbors, because we know salvation comes from the Father through the work of the Son and by the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, salvation also comes to others through you. Through you, as you live out your faith in the places where you already live, where you already work, and even where you already play. You can get to know someone new in many ways, and maybe you're already thinking of someone right now, who that may be, if you aren't. And if you're looking for an easy way to try, let me invite you. This Saturday, we're doing hot dogs in the park, our church. We're going to grill hot dogs and share them with whomever's around. We go to Indian Trails Park over there and hang out by the playground and try to get to know people. And it's a lot of fun. And we hope and we pray that we'll get to know some of our neighbors, that we can invite them into this relationship that we already have with God our Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And we can do this because we are sons and daughters of God. We know that he loves us as a perfect father does. We know that he loves us and cares for us now and always. And so we want to invite others into that relationship too. I think today, I want to end by praying. So would you guys pray with me? God, we know that you are our Father. And God, we know that you are also God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You work in our lives in so many ways. But we know that this fact that you are our loving Father in heaven, it means we can always trust you. It means you will always work on our behalf. Some of us we know who are gathered here today, we have had good fathers. We know what a good father's love is like. like Nabil, who we heard about. But some of us don't. And Lord, for those of us who don't know what a father's love is like, or for those of us, Lord, who maybe understand this intellectually, but we don't really get it practically. We don't really experience the love, your love for us. Lord, help us to have that trusting relationship with you. Make us able to call you Father. Make us able to trust in your Son. And Lord, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, work in our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.